Okay. Today is Thursday night, February 28th. This is the weekly Chumashir, Parshat Vayakel. Okay, Rabotai. I'd like to focus on the beginning of Parshat Vayakel as the Torah once again establishes a connection between the building of the Mishkan and the observance of the day of Shabbos. And in this brief section, the Torah just tells us that you're not permitted to do malacha on the seventh day, as it does on several other occasions. But here, this is the only time where the Torah elaborates and furnishes an illustration of something that you're not permitted to do on Shabbos. And that is at the beginning of the Parsha, in Pasuk Gimel, Lo tiva'aru esh b'chol moshvoteichem b'yom ha-Shabbat. You are not permitted to kindle a fire in all of your communities on Shabbat. So I'm going to present five perspectives on the Rashi, the Ramban, Sfarno, the Chinuch, and the Rav. And you'll judge which one do you think is the most powerful of the five. So the question obviously is, why single out Eish, Havarat Eish, as an illustration of Lo Ta'aseh Kol Melacha? Everybody is aware of the fact that there are 39 prohibited melachot from a biblical point of view. They are derived from the building of the Mishkan, but none of them are actually itemized anyplace. The only possibility of another two melachot having been mentioned is a pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim and a similar pasuk in Parshat Ki Tisa, where the Torah says Bechorish Ubakotzir Tishbot. You should rest from harvesting and plowing. So if you'll just take a look for a second, the Torah tells us that in Parshas Mishpatim. It's in Kisisa, Shmot Lamed Dalid, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Shmot Lamed Dalid, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Sheshet yamim ta'avod ubayom ha-shvi'i tishbot becharish ubakotzir tishbot. In which case there would be three melachot identified: havara, plowing, and harvesting. However, it's a machlokes in the Gemara, and the majority of the opinions believe that this pasuk, although stated as Sheshet Yamim Ta'avod Ubayom Hashvi'i Tishbot, does not refer to days but years. It's actually talking about Shemitah. 6 years you're supposed to work, and on the seventh year you are not permitted to engage in plowing and harvesting. In which case, we are now back in our parsha, that the only milacha that is mentioned is havara, kindling of fire. So we start, of course, with Rashi. Rashi says, lo tivaru esh. You should have the Rashi, that's why I didn't photostat it. Yesh mirabotenu ovrim, havara lilav yatzat, v'yesh ormim lichalek yatzat. There is a debate as to why Havara is singled out. Some believe it's to tell you Havara is Lilav Yatzat, to teach us that whereas the penalty for violating 38 other Melachot is Skila, being stoned by Bet Din, if you kindle a fire on Shabbat, you only get Malkus. Only get Malkus. That's why it's singled out, because it's different than any of the other melachot. That's a possibility, but the difficulty still is not addressed as to why it has to be singled out here. Shabbos is mentioned, so many times in the Torah. Why specifically here in this location is it necessary to inform me that of the 39 melachot, one of them, the punishment is not skila, but rather only lashes? Why here? Rashi doesn't address that issue. The second opinion says, no, you get the death penalty for kindling a fire as well. So why is it singled out? Lichalek, which means to separate each one of the 39. I could have had a possibility of suggesting that in order to earn the death penalty, you have to violate all 39 melachot on one particular Shabbos. You really got to be busy. All 39 melachot on one Shabbos in order to get the skila. So therefore, lichalek, the Torah singles out and says no. You are not permitted to do any of them. What's the difficulty with that interpretation? Why did it have to be this one? Could have been anyone. Okay? If you're going to single something out, why single out Havara if it's only to teach us that all 39 are to be viewed independently? Okay, so you could say it's just random selection. Because if it said you're not allowed to cook, you'd ask, well, I didn't say you're not allowed to cook. But the question has to be asked nonetheless. That's Rashi's interpretation. Take a look at the first sheet. You have the Ramban. And the Ramban doesn't agree with Rashi. And he says, Lo tivaroish b'chomosh otechem yom ha-shabbat, in yan ha-katuv hazeh, the idea of this particular pasuk, Vadai le'esor b'Shabbat gam melechet ochel nefesh, says the Ramban. We know that on Yom Tov there is a commonality in terms of whatever is prohibited in terms of melacha on Shabbos is also prohibited on Yom Tov. In fact, it happens to be one of the reasons, if not the primary reason, why if you look at chapter 23 of Sefer Vayikra, open up to chapter 23, you should know it by heart, because we read it every single Yom Tov. It's a good parak in Chumash to know by heart. So it's known as the Parsha of the Moadot. It describes all five festivals, Pesach, Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. But what does the parsha of the Moadot open up with? Shabbos. Sheshit yamim teyaseh melacha. Uvayom hashvi'i Shabbat Shabbaton. So everyone asks, why does chapter 23, the parsha of the Moadot, being with Shabbos? And one of the answers is to teach us that the definition of kol milacha lo ta'asu b'yom tov is in effect paralleling, mirroring the definition of melacha by Shabbos. However, there is one pasuk in chapter 12 which tells us that although melacha is prohibited on Yom Tov, anything which is ochel nefesh, which we call eating food and so on and so forth, deriving certain type of pleasures and benefits are permitted on Yom Tov. Says the Ramban, I could have imagined that such things are permissible on Shabbos as well, for Ochel Nefesh purposes. So the Torah says, no. It highlights one of the major milachot associated with Ochel Nefesh, that's kindling of fire. And the Torah says, not only are all of the other milachot prohibited on Shabbat, but even Ochel Nefesh. Lo tiva'aru esh b'chol moshvotechem b'yom ha-Shabbat. Fine. That's the Ramban's interpretation. And I could have thought, that's what the Ramban says, that there is a real comparison between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because the phrase, lo ta'aseh, kol melacha, or kol meleches avodah lo ta'asu, are found in both places. Therefore, the Torah is now teaching me this halacha. However, the weakness with the Ramban is, I still don't know why that lesson had to be here. Why did it have to be here? Why wasn't it in the Aseret HaDibrot, where the Torah tells us, you know, Zachorat Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, Sheshit Yomim Ta'avod, U'Bayom HaShvi, Shabbat L'Hashem Elokecha. Maybe the Torah should say, right in the Aseret HaDibrot, Lo Tuvaru Esh, V'Chol Moshvotecha Miyom HaShabbat. Or, any time else the Torah says, Et Shabtotai Tishmoru, says that half a dozen times in the Torah. Just say it. Lo Sivaru Esh, B'chol. Why dafke here in Parshat Vayakel? Okay. Third interpretation is Sefarno, page number 2. Says the Sfarno, Af Alpi Shehav Ara Be'atzma, he kilkul al harov. Even though the majority of times fire is a destructive force, and any destructive activity according to Torah law is permissible. So if you have a house which you're planning on knocking down because you're going to rebuild it, if you're not planning on rebuilding, just knocking it down, and you're going to use it, whatever, just to keep it as a ball field, so you knock down the building on Shabbos, you violate absolutely nothing. Because all milachot of destructive activity on Shabbat are prohibited only midrabanan, on a doraita level. Unless the purpose of the destructive activity is for the purpose of constructive activity. So if I'm planning on rebuilding my house, then you are chayiv on Shabbos for knocking it down as well, because you're planning to rebuild. If you rip out a stitch as you are crocheting a sweater or something like that, if you plan on restitching it, then you violate the law of ripping out the stitch. But if you just take a piece of paper and rip it up, that's not prohibited on Shabbos according to Torah law. That's destructive in nature, says the Sfarno. I could have imagined that Eish is always usually a destructive force and should not be prohibited at all. So therefore he writes, Mikol makom, bihiyota kli lichol hamilachot o liruban, hi asura b'shabbat. Since it is something that is used in what? In the enabling of many other milachot, even the majority of them, therefore the Torah is now telling us, for that reason, it is prohibited. Because it has a constructive nature as well. It enables you to engage in the other milachot of Shabbos. Ladies and gentlemen, can you tell me one other melacha that is enabled by kindling of fire? I can think of a couple. Baking or cooking. Okay? That's one malacha. Either baking or cooking.
Melting something.
What?
Melting something to make a utensil.
Okay, what? Okay. Melting something. So that's bishul.
Karbanos.
When you? What?
Karbanos.
The karban, but that's not in meleches hamishkan. That's avoidas hamishkan. And we don't learn anything out from avoidas hamishkan. So how many other melachot are there that are somehow facilitated by use implement of fire? I can't think of too many. You don't plant, plow, harvest, winnow, sift, and sow, none of fire has nothing to do with these things. And I would suggest the overwhelming majority of them have nothing to do with fire. As I said, I can hear it's got something to do with cooking or baking. So, if the Sfarno just writes, "Bihiyota kli lichol hamelachot oleruban," it is the key, the vessel that enables all of the other 38, or at least the majority of them. I'd like to welcome the Sfarno in and explain to us how fire is involved in carrying. I'd like to see that. How fire is involved in planting. Yes?
I think the idea is that fire, kindling fire, is the base of civilization, and therefore all work. So I don't see what the halamin is in the first place, because by definition, you're kindling, you're not destructive, you're building something. So the mission of the metal works through fire, so just say a positive act. So that if
okay. I agree with you. The havamin is, you're saying that the havamin is even difficult.
Even the havamin is very,
yes, difficult. I would grant you that. Even his initial thought process. I would have thought, because it's destructive in nature. Okay. Again, not the most compelling interpretation in the world. Fine, let's move on to a fourth possibility. Now, actually, the Netziv and Hamekov does say something else. Let's go to page number 4, which is the Chinuch. Vayakel Moshe, as you well know, the Chinuch itemizes mitzvot that are found in a particular parsha. So in Parshat Vayakel, there is only one mitzvat lo ta'aseh in this parsha. What is it? Shelo ya'asu beitin mishpat mavet b'shabbos. That if there is a criminal who is found guilty of a crime that is deserving of execution, such as a mechal Shabbos, that the beitin is not permitted to execute him on Shabbos. How do I know? As he writes, Vehi shelo ya'asu hadayanim dinim b'shabbos. Judges shall not engage in judicial decisions on Shabbos. Kilomar, in other words, mi shenitchayev mita bebetin, somebody who is obligated to be executed, lo yemituhu b'shabbat. How do I know that? Shenemar, lo tiva'aru eish b'chol moshvotechem b'yom ha-shabbat. Don't kindle a fire in any of your communities. Where are you allowed to kindle a fire on Shabbat? In the Beit HaMikdash. But in any other of your communities, even in the courts, fire is prohibited. Well, one of the four ways in which Beit Din executes, we all remember this from Yom Kippur, right? Arba Mises Bezdin, Skila, Sreifa, Hereg, and Chenek. So one of the ways is to boil up lead and pour hot lead down your throat. That's how you are executed through Sreifa. So, lo tivaru eish b'chol moshvotechem b'yom ha-shabbat. Even though I am allowing havara, fire, in the mikdash, for the korbanot, for the ketoret, for a variety of other uses, you cannot use it on Shabbat, And therefore, the Torah writes, Lo tevaru esh b'chol moshvosechem b'yom ha-shabbat. What does the chinuch accomplish with this type of an interpretation? He doesn't have to worry about why it's singled out. I know why it's singled out. Because I'm focusing on a specific prohibition, namely, that Bet Din is not permitted to engage in executing anybody. Because it can't do so fire, so not even if it does not require fire, it's still prohibited. The general law is no executions on Shabbat. Fine. And he says, he's going to tell us why there are no executions on Shabbos. Look at the next paragraph. Shiratza Hashem Yitbarach Lichabed Hayom Hazeh Shimtzu Bo Minucha Hakol Gam Hachotim Vahachayavim. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted a day of rest, even for sinners, even if people who transgress. You know what? At least enjoy your Shabbos, you'll get executed tomorrow. So says the Chinuch. So I don't have to worry, why did the Torah single out Havara? Because the Halacha can only be communicated through Havara. That's the only one that... It could have said, Lo tishchot b'yom ha-shabbat, because Shechita is defined as taking the life. That's what happens when you shech. Well, one of the ways in which you execute in Beis Din is by choking somebody. So you could have formulated this very same prohibition, not necessarily through Havara, but you could have written in the Torah that lo tishchatu b'chol moshvotecha b'yom ha-shabbat. Don't slaughter an animal on Shabbos, which would now teach us you're not allowed to execute a human being either, because that's how you that's also shechita. That's executing somebody. But you could have done it. So it's, again, somewhat difficult as to why the Torah, and also why does it have to teach me this halacha right here as we are talking about the building of the Mishkan. So there's only one shot left. And I want to share with you the Rav's perspective. And he said as follows. The sequence of the Mishkan takes five parshiyot. Truma Tetzaveh and the first half of Kitisa are the directives of God to build and construct the Mishkan. Truma Tetzaveh, first half of Kitisa. Second half of Kitisa deals with the Chet HaEgel and its aftermath. Vayakel and Pekudei are the fulfillment of the command to build the Mishkan. To build the Mishkan. There is a titanic machloikis between Rashi and Ibn Ezra on the one hand, the Ramban on the other hand, as to whether or not these five parshiyot are indeed in their narrative chronological order. Rashi and Ibn Ezra believe they are not. They believe that God never commanded the building of a Mishkan prior to the Chet HaEgel. So even though Chet HaEgel is recorded in the middle of Kitisa, all of Truma, all of Tetzaveh, and half of Kitisa are actually delivered to Moshe after the Chet HaEgel. And if the order were written chronologically, you would have the second half of Kitisa, then Truma and Tetzaveh as the command, Vayakel and Pekudei as the implementation. That's Ibn Ezra and Rashi, who firmly believe and often quote the well-known principle, Ein mukdam umeuchar batorah. There is no chronological order to the narrative of the Torah. It's one of my questions that I'm sure lots of people preceded me of asking the Rabbeinu Shalom, why did you write the Torah that way? If you believe, why would you not have written the narrative in its proper order? Why are you trying to fool us? Well, why? What's the purpose of it? So the Ramban says, I don't believe in this principle at all. There's only one time in the Chumash where the Ramban has to subscribe to the principle. He has to. Because the Torah gives the dates out of order. Chapter 1 of Sefer Bamidbar is dated in the Torah the second month of the year, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, 1 month or 15 days after the first exodus of Mitzrayim, first anniversary of the exodus of Mitzrayim. That's chapter 1. Chapter 9 of Sefer Bamidbar is dated the first day of the first month of the year, 15 days before the exodus of Mitzrayim. So there the Ramban says, I can't argue, it's out of order. But aside from that, he never applies a mukta muchabator. In which case, the Ramban believes that there is a value and legitimacy to the mikdash immaterial of the Chet HaEgel. Rashi, who believes that it's a response to the Chet HaEgel, believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no intention of asking us to build a Mishkan, and it's only a consideration recognizing that the Jew is not yet capable of worshipping an abstract God. It's impossible for them. They're living in an environment where paganism and idolatry is rampant, and Am Yisrael need concrete methods of worshipping the God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes it and delivers. And he tells them, these are all of the activities that are found in the Mikdash were found in every single pagan temple. Every single one of them. There were sacrifices, there was incense, everything is there. Everything. Except God said, you have to do exactly what I tell you. Exactly what I tell you. The Abarbanel asks the question in Sefer Vayikra, is there any rationale why Korban A has to be sprinkled twice on the Mizbeach and another Korban only once? Is there any rationale why one Korban is, there's an imaginary line on the Mizbeach called the Chut HaSikra? Some are sprinkled on the top of that line and some on the bottom. So should I rack my brains, try to figure out it? Sabarana says, don't waste your time. All of this is just HaKadosh Baruch Hu just made that up so that we don't deviate. That's all. You have to follow his prescription. Because if you don't follow his prescription, that's Avodah Zarah. So the whole concept of a Mishkan is only because we have not been capable of worshipping a God who we can't see, can't hear, can't talk to, and so on and so forth. That's why Jews have survived for 2,000 years without a Beis HaMikdash. We can survive without a Beis HaMikdash. As often as we say, Shei Bar Beis HaMikdash, we survived 2,000 years, and we're able to grow and cultivate ourselves religiously and spiritually in the absence of the activities in the Mikdash. But the Ramban does not agree. He believes that the mitzvah to build the Mishkan preceded the Chet HaEgel. And the Parshiot are in their correct order. Truman Tetzaveh, first half of Kisisa. Then comes the Chet HaEgel. Then comes the implementation. And here is a critical difference of the juxtaposition of Shabbos. Please go to Ki Tisa for a second. Go to Ki Tisa for a second. And you will see it in chapter 31, Psukim Yud Bet through Yud Zayin. Yud Bet through Yud Zayin is the warning about Shabbos before the Chet HaEgel. Where does that warning appear? After the command to build a Mishkan. The command starts in chapter 25, Parshas Truma. All of Parshas Truma, all of Tetzaveh, first half of Kisisa. And the first half of Kisisa ends with what? with the command to observe the Shabbos. After the Chet HaEgel, when God now, when the Torah records the actual building of the Mishkan, the order is reversed. We start with Shabbos, and then we will go on to the rest of Vayakel and all of Pekudei for the construction of the Mishkan and the fashioning of the Big Day Kohuna. Ask the Rav, why was the order reversed? And he suggested as follows. At the beginning, before the Chet HaEgel, the primary idea, is the building of the Mishkan. That's what the 2.5 parshiyot are all about. As the final reminder, before we go through what? The actual building, HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws in a warning. You know what? I know the Melechas HaMishkan is significant. And I know you're going to have a temptation to do what? To build it on Shabbos as well. Because you think this is one of the most important mitzvot, which it probably is. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after he shares the command of every last detail of the Mishkan and the Big Day Kohuna and how to put it up and everything, he warns them, Ushmarkem es HaShabbos Ki Kodesh Ilocha Mechalaleha Mot Yumat. As significant as this is, I want you to know that Melechas HaMishkan is not Dor HaShabbos. Even though Avodat HaMikdash is Dorcha Shabbos. Every single korban requires fire, burning things. And so you're allowed to do the but the Melechas HaMishkan, the construction, is not Dorcha Shabbos. It's an afterthought. Now comes Chet HaEgel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that even before I allow them to go ahead and build that Mishkan, I have to reinforce what I consider is even more important than building a Mishkan. What is that? The observance of Shabbos. And how am I going to remind them to that the observance of Shabbos and the dangers of not listening and observing the Shabbos? How am I going to remind them? I'm going to remind them about the Egel. How does he remind them about the Egel? Lo sivaru eish b'chol mosho seichem b'yom HaShabbos. You know why he takes havara? Because he wants to remind them of another fire that they kindled. And what did they do with that fire? They took their gold, threw it in, and developed what? The Egel HaZohar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is using the Melacha of Havara not to single it out amongst the 39 Melachot because it has a different status that you only get Malkus, to teach you that you don't have to violate all 39, not to teach you that Beis Din is not allowed to execute on somebody. He wants to keep in mind what Eish can accomplish. Eish is very dangerous. It can lead to a Chet HaEgel. And what I'm asking you to do, before you even get started with the Melechas HaMishkan, is a very nice thing to do. Just follow what I asked you to do before I even came up with this idea of a Melechas HaMishkan. At the Aseret HaDibrot, I already told you how significant the Yom Tov of Shabbos is. And in fact, from a halakhic perspective, it is the only mitzvah which shares a common denominator with the violation of Avodah Zarah. Only mitzvah. If you were to invite me to your house for dinner, I only have to ascertain one thing about your religious commitment. I don't have to know if you eat matzah on Pesach,
I don't know if you have to. If you, I don't have to ask you. Did you get rid of your chametz for Pesach? Did you sell your chametz? I don't have to ask that question. I only have to know one thing: you observe Shabbos, and do you not worship Avodah Zarah? That's the only thing I have to know. So worshiping Avodah Zarah is something that I can take for granted. In today's times, you don't really have to ask that question. Baruch Hashem in our shul, we don't have to ask the question about Shmir Shabbos either, by and large. But we all grew up in Orthodox shuls, and are people who came every single Shabbos, every Friday night, but they weren't Shomer Shabbos. And halachically, you are not permitted. A person who is a Mechal Shabbos is a Mumar Lechol HaTorah Kula. They have forfeited their halachic trustworthiness in every other area of the Torah. Even though they buy only the dots. They only buy the dots. But you're not allowed to eat in their house. Because they forfeited their halachic trustworthiness. That only takes place by Avodah Zarah and Shabbos. The only two. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did here was, before I even tell them a peeping word about building the Mishkan, he tells Moshe, Vayakel Moshe Echol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Did that happen at the beginning of Truma? Absolutely not. How was the command to build a Mishkan conveyed in Parshas Truma? Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. And what did Moshe do? Moshe told his three Talmidim, Pinchas, Elazar, and Yehoshua. And they told the other Zakenim. And the other Zakenim disseminated the information to all of Am Yisrael. That's the way all of Torah was disseminated. But after that Chet Ha'Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayakel Moshe es kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Vayomer aleihem. Anna, you're not hearing this from some elder. You're going to hear it directly from Mo. That's why you got to go to Mo's. You got to hear it directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. And what does he say? Not to build a Mishkan first. Observe the Shabbos. And I want you to remember that dramatic fire that existed just a couple of months ago, which nearly brought the destruction of Am Yisrael. The destruction of Am Yisrael. That's what it nearly caused. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Heref mimeni va'ashmideh. Just leave me alone. I want to destroy them. I will fulfill my promise to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov through you, Moshe, make you into a great nation. That's the danger. So, we started with the question, why is Lo Sivaru Eish singled out? According to the Rav, it's singled out for a very good reason. Because it's part of the lesson that Moshe wants to convey as the warning before he will even tell them about the Melechas HaMishkan. Nobody knew about the Mishkan. The only one who heard about the mitzvah of the Melechas HaMishkan was Moshe. As it says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe l'emor. Nothing happened yet. Now God is going to want to tell them, observe the Shabbos. And then Moshe will begin the process of disseminating the information about constructing the Mishkan and initiating the appeals and so on and so forth. So ultimately, God is saying, you know what? There are two domains of sanctity that we speak of frequently in a variety of ways. Sanctity of space and sanctity of time. If you ask me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is more significant for me? Kiddushat Hazman is of a higher priority than Kiddushat Makom. Without Kiddushat Makom. So what's happening here is the order is switched. Because before the Chet Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu believed that they were going to be committed. So I'm going to share with them the mitzvah, and just as a short, brief reminder, you know what, Chevra, just don't be Michal Shabbos. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes, I have to switch it around. Before I say anything about building the Mishkan, I have to remind them what I think is really important. Sanctifying the Shabbos and Shmirat Shabbat, more important than building the Mishkan. And I want to remind you, through the halacha of Eish, Lo Sevaru Eish B'chol Moshvoseichem, how dangerous that fire can be. It can be enormously positive, but it could lead to another Egel. And if it were to lead to another Egel, it would not have the same results as the first one where God decided to forgive, but it would ultimately lead to destruction of Am Yisrael. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu switches the order and singles out the malacha of Lo Sevaru Eish V'chol Moshe Lo Teichem. Have a good night. I heard you had surgery.
I did.
Did it okay? Went well? Good. So we need glasses?
It takes a little while.
I'll pull up.
Takes a little while.
But then you will not need glasses.
That's the goal. So colors made a difference. It's much clearer.
Yeah, really?
And that I saw immediately in the doctor's office. Something that looked sort of like muddy brownish is really a clue. I didn't see it when I was looking at the ground. So I know that you like history. So what does the Chinuch Festival have to do with the Rosenbergs? So the Rosenbergs, when they were sentenced to death, were supposed to be on Shabbos. So Rabbi Kaslow, was the chaplain in St. Cyr. And he went, I don't know if he went to the judge or he went to the warden, and he said, it's the Sabbath, not the Sunday. Sure, so I won't say what those people did. They were brought to Friday. So Rabbi Kaslow went back to them, and he said, if you can execute them on earlier, but execute them on Friday.
Wow.
Yeah. So he knew the Chinuch.
Yeah.
And they were so anti.
Wow.
Go ahead.